Well, let us open God's Word together to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and we'll read together verses 11 to 14. We've spent a couple of messages just looking at verse 11. We plan to finish off this chapter this evening looking at verses 12 to 14. But just for context, we'll read from verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And so reads God's word to us. This is the third part in this section, which I've entitled Time to Awake, and obviously taken from the text itself. In verses 12 to 14, which we will consider this evening, we really have in those three verses an expanding of the exhortation in verse 11. It's a reinforcement of what verse 11 says that we looked at over a couple of messages in the last week or so. In verses 12 to 14, there's a series of comparisons or contrasts which will form the basis of our message tonight. We have the contrast of time and the contrast of occupation in verse 12. We have the contrast of life in verse 13 and the contrast of identity in verse 14. So first of all, the contrast of time. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. We have here, in one sense, time. In another sense, perspective. We need to be those who consider that this is the case. That the night is gone. The night of sin is far spent. It is done with. It is in the past. And we are looking forward to the day of redemption, the day when we shall meet our Savior. That day is at hand. That day is approaching. And we are to live in the context of this knowledge. We're not to live as we were before. That is gone. And in fact, it says in 1 Peter 4, and he puts it very well, in what we needn't turn to it. It's in 1 Peter 4, verse 3. It says, for the time past of our life may suffice to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in all those sins that he goes on to list. So there's this idea that that time is done with. We've lived that way, and there's been enough of that, and that's the way we used to live because of our natures. But now there's a change. Now we are looking forward. Now we are living for what is ahead. Also in Ephesians 2, we have the same idea. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. Again in verse 3 of Ephesians 2. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in various sins that are mentioned there. In 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, again the night is far spent, into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. In other words, we are to live like what we are. We're to live what we are. We are now the people of God. In the past, we were not a people. We were in darkness. We lived for the moment. We lived like animals in that sense. Now we're to live like the sons and the children of God. We are to be what we are. But then secondly, the contrast of occupation. Verse 12 goes on to say, let us therefore, because the night is far spent, because the day is at hand, let us occupy ourselves with casting off the works of darkness, and let us put on new armor. We're in a different and on a different side now. We have changed from being those who serve Satan, serve sin, and serve self. We are now soldiers of the cross. We are now part of God's army. And therefore we're to put on the armor that is suited to that realm and to that regiment, if you like. We are to put on the armor of light. We are to display that we belong to the kingdom of light. We're to display that we belong to the King of light, and therefore we are to put on the armor of light. In 2 Corinthians 6 verse 7, this armor is called the armor of righteousness. In Ephesians 6 verse 11 and 13, it's called the armor of God. So there's a contrast of occupation, not just of time, not just of perspective, but of what we are doing and why we are doing it. We've been called to light. We've been called to righteousness. We've been called to God. And therefore, the armor we wear is to display that reality. What people see is to reflect what God has called us to. Just like we can't see the Lamb's Book of Life, neither can others see that of us or themselves. But we are to display it, that our names are written in heaven by how we live. Thirdly, and we'll spend most of our time on this point, the contrast of life. The contrast of life. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. The word walk is often used for the life or the way life is lived. Life is a walk or a journey. And therefore, quite often, the scripture uses this terminology of a walk. So what is our walk like? What is our life like? What is our journey like? Where are we going? And how are we going along that journey? How are we to walk? In other words, it's not just important where we are going, but how we are going, why we are going. And I suppose you can apply every type of question to that point, and it all has a relevance. If we are on a journey, if we are walking through this world, in other words, we're not resting, we're like pilgrims and strangers. We're like Abraham being called in Genesis 12 from the land of Ur, the Chaldees, and we're leaving in a human sense, not knowing where we're going, but spiritually we do know where we're going. Are we living accordingly? Well, in our text we are told to walk honestly. Let us walk honestly as in the day. In other words, live knowing that everybody can see us. Everybody is looking at us. It's not like we're in the night. It's not like we can do things under the cover of darkness. No, we're walking honestly as in the day. And the same people, even in the world, will often do things a lot differently in the daytime than they do in the night. And I saw this over many years in the city where the same people would live a certain way in the daytime, wear nice suits, and so on, and then at night time live far differently. But it's true of us all, isn't it? When we commit sin, the Word of God says, we tend to do it in the darkness. We tend to do it under cover. We don't do things here that we might do somewhere else. In the secret, when we're on our own, we will do things more easily than we will do when others can see us. But what the apostle is saying here is, walk as you would walk, live as you would live, do what you do as if everybody was looking at you. So don't be different in your private life than in your public life. Don't be hypocritical in that sense. Be what you are always, as if you are walking in the daytime. In Romans 6 verse 4, it says, we're to walk in newness of life. Even so, just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. In other words, we are no longer the same. It goes back to our text. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us live differently. Let us live holy, new lives. Let us live as we are the children of God. In Romans 8 verse 1, it says we are to walk according to the Spirit. We're not to walk after the flesh, but after or according to or in the context of a relationship with the Spirit of God. And that's why verse 4 says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there's a contrast there. We can't do both. It is impossible to walk after the flesh and after the Spirit at the same time. The two are contrary one to another, as the same passage says. We either love the one or hate the other, or despise the one and love the other. We cannot do both. Yes, we cannot serve God and the world. We have to decide. It's a decision of the will to walk after or according to the Spirit. In other words, and as it says in Ephesians, to keep in step with the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 16 gives us the benefit of walking in the Spirit. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, what Paul is saying to the Galatians is that the reason we do commit sins of the flesh is because we're not walking in the Spirit. The root of the problem is that we are not walking with God, and therefore we commit these sins. The logic of walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we claim to be Christians, let us live like Christians. But then fourthly, we are to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. We're not to base our journey, our walk, our life based upon what we see. We walk by faith, not by sight. We don't judge things by what we see. Well, how do we apply this? Because that's a phrase that is often quoted, but rarely understood. If you try something for a while spiritually and then give up, you're walking not by faith, but by sight. I'll commit myself to a Bible reading plan or to a prayer plan and so on, but because maybe we don't see enough change, I don't see enough of this taking making a difference in my life. You're walking by sight. In other words, we do all the things we do in the Christian life, not because of the effect we see, but because we are commanded in the Word of God to do those things. So we're not governed by what we see. We are governed, and brethren, this applies in so many levels. We are governed not by what we see, because we react, don't we? By purely what we perceive. We are not to walk that way. Sight also includes our own mental understanding. We are not to be governed by our own understanding, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So in this walk, we are to walk by faith, and faith can only be, and only is to be grounded, where? On the Word of God. So all that we do is to be governed by trust in God's Word. Then fifthly, we are to walk in the light and the glory of the cross. Galatians 6. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And listen to what he says. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy. What's the rule? To glory in the cross, and to glory in the new creation. We are to walk in the light and the glory of the cross. Sixthly, we are to walk in good works. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And again, bring back to the fourth point, this is not something that we think is good to do, but something that God has given to us to do. So therefore, whether it be reading the word, prayer, witness, public worship, these are the things that we are to walk in and walk in holiness. These are the things that we are to live in and for. This is why God has saved us. That's what Ephesians 2 verse 10 is saying. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, so that we might live a life that glorifies and honors God. That's the purpose of salvation. The purpose of salvation is not to get you to heaven. If that was the purpose of salvation, God would save you and transport you immediately to glory. That's not the purpose. The purpose of salvation is to live a holy life in the sight of God. Seventhly, we are to walk worthy of our calling. Ephesians 4 verse 1. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. This is saying the same thing that Ephesians 2:10 is saying. We are to walk according to the type of calling that God has given us. We are to live in the light of the call of the gospel and the effectual call of God's grace. The negative side is also in Ephesians 4 verse 17. We're not to walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or the emptiness of their mind. They walk the way they do because Ephesians 4:18 says their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart, they are past feeling, and they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. They who are given much, much of them shall be required. And we have been so blessed. We have been so graced by God that we are not to live as if we are still in the ignorance of the night that is past, of the night that is gone. We are to live in view of the day that is at hand and the glory that is to be revealed in us. Ephesians 5 verse 2, we are to walk in love even as Christ has loved us. Ephesians 5 verse 8, we are to walk as children of light. And again, this is very in keeping with our text as well. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Don't walk as if you're in darkness. Don't stumble around not knowing what you're doing. Walk as in reality it is. The light has been switched on not just around you, but in you. We have the light of the glory of the gospel of God in our souls. We are to display that in our lives. We are to show what we are in our works, what God has made us in our hearts. Again, Ephesians 5, we're to walk circumspectly, verse 15. In other words, we're not, again, it's a similar idea, we're not to walk around carelessly. The illustration of a minefield often comes to mind here. You know, if you knew there was mines around you, you would be very careful. You would walk very circumspectly. You would not just be careless with each step. We're in a minefield in this world. Every step is dangerous in this world. Every day there are dangers. The Lord Jesus Christ says tomorrow, or the morrow has enough evil of its own. This world is a minefield for the believer. We are to walk in that knowledge. We're to redeem the time, the following verse says, because the day is evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We are to walk circumspectly. 11, we are to walk after the example of godly believers. Philippians 3, 16 and 17. And as Paul builds the picture of talking about pressing on towards the mark in Philippians 3. Then in verse 16 he says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. We are to follow, and we're to walk after the example of godly believers. We're to look out for godly men and women to be the example of how we should live. Every one of us is to do that. The contrast, again, in the same chapter, the following verse says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. So we're to walk after good examples, and we are to shun the bad. 12, we are to walk worthy of the Lord. Colossians 1 verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Again, this brings us back to the principle. We live and we walk in the context of what will please God. We're not to live thinking, well, what will keep people off my back? And what will make me look good? We're to walk in the face of God to please Him. As Paul said to Timothy in another place, the one who is a soldier of Christ lives that he may please him who hath called him to be his warrior, to be his soldier. Again, Colossians 2 verse 6, the same idea. As therefore ye receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In other words, nothing is to be outside the context of a relationship with Christ. Everything we do is to be in the context of a Christ relationship. This is why the believers were originally called Christians, little Christ, because everything they did revolved around Christ. Everything they did reflected Christ. Everything they did had its response back to Christ, had its context in Him. We have that wonderful so-called breastplate of St. Patrick, don't we? Christ above me, Christ beside me, Christ without me, Christ within me, Christ on my left side, Christ on my right side. Christ was everything to Patrick. And that's the principle in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. If we receive Christ, let us also walk in him. We're told to walk worthy of God in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 12. And we're to walk and please God in 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1. 13, we are to walk in wisdom, Colossians 4 and verse 5. Again, it has the idea of redeeming the time there. 14, we're to walk honestly with regard to unbelievers. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. The contrast is in 2 Thessalonians. So he's got the exhortation in 1 Thessalonians 4:12 to walk honestly towards them that are without. And again, that brings us back, doesn't it, to Romans 13 again. But in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, he rebukes them, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. It should bother us, brethren, that the only time sometimes we become animated is when there's some juicy detail or when there's some problem. And we become more animated then. We're not to be busybodies. We're not to become more interested in the things of God when there's a problem. We are to be engaged in the things of God at all times, so that the problem don't become the energy that keeps us going like the world. For that's in the world, that's what it is, isn't it? We're half asleep, there's a problem, and that's why newspapers are full of bad news and problems in people's lives, because that's what engages us. That's what excites the world. We are not to be like that. We are to be those who are given to a walk with God. So what engages us is not problems, but a desire to be truly holy in our lives before God. 15, we are to walk in the light. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. 16. We are to walk like Christ. 1 John 2 verse 6. He that saith that he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even, what is standard here, even as he walked. We are to live and walk and move just like Jesus Christ. That is our standard. And that is the standard that we are to apply to ourselves. That's why in another place it says that they who judge themselves by themselves are not wise. We are never to judge, and we do this, brethren, so often, don't we? We think, well, as long as I live better than the weak calf of the church, or as long as I'm better than, you know, the worst person in the church, well, I can feel reasonably comfortable with myself. But that's not our standard. Christ is our standard. Christ is to become the ever living prototype in our Christian walk. So let us not be unwise thinking, well, as long as we're in the top 25% of church holiness, that we're okay. No, we're to live and walk and move like Christ did. And that's why Paul could say in Philippians 3 that he did not yet consider himself to obtain. What did he not obtain? He had not yet obtained a Christ-like life. He'd not yet reached a standard of living that could be equated with a life that was lived according to Christ. Now we know, brethren, we're not going to do that in this world. But that is ever to be the goal. That is ever to be the standard. That is ever to be the blueprint for the believer. To live like Jesus. To walk like Jesus. To pray like Jesus. To love like Jesus. To read the scriptures like Jesus. That is ever to be the standard for all of us. Also in 2 John, 17th point, we are to walk according to his commandments. 2 John 1 verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is a good balance, isn't it, between the last point, because we can become like Thomas a Kempis, can't we? You know, the imitation of Christ, and it becomes a mystical experience. No, walking like Christ is following his word. That's a good balancing point, isn't it? It's not that we're to become all sort of, you know, transcendent in our sort of, the way we look and the way we sort of move physically. No, we're to obey his word. And that is the only way that we can become more like Christ Jesus. To do what he said. If you love me, obey what I command, is what he said. Point 18, we are to walk in truth. 3 John 1 verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Jude 1 verse 18. The contrast, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. And then finally, on this point, we have a glorious promise. Revelation 3 verse 4. The letter to Sardis. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That must be our goal. That must be our longing. To walk with Christ. And again, this is not perfection. The perfection will only be reached at that day, at that time. But this must be our desire. The only ones who will wear the white clothes of Christ's righteousness and glory are the ones who have it now in their hearts, who long for it now in their lives, who walk for it and live for it in this world. But then back in our text, and we've got some brief points as we finish. As it says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Then it gives three pairings of contrast. Not in rioting and drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envying. So we're to walk honestly as in the day in contrast to this type of living. Now what's interesting, and if you just take these pairings one at a time very briefly, the word rioting, according to Strong, means letting go. That's the world often says. In fact, there was a radio ad today which encouraged letting go in December because January is long enough. That's what it said. It's time to let go. Let the hair down. No, let loose, because January is going to be boring. That's what's been encouraged on RT Radio. I think it was RT, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. But then not in chambering and wantonness. Chambering means sleeping around. Wantonness, loose living. Not in strife and envying. Notice the progression here, though. I only noticed this, I was almost going to just pass over, but then I suddenly noticed the progression. Letting go will lead to loose living, which will end up in strife. Strife with God and strife with our fellow man. Sin grows, doesn't it? Sin doesn't stop. It doesn't sort of say, well, I'll be satisfied with this. No, sin takes on a life of its own. Sin dominates. It begins with the nice stuff. You know, the letting go, that seems nice. The word wicked has become sort of a nice word now. It's like, let's have a wicked time. You know, it was really wicked. It was good, wasn't it? Naughty has become also a sort of an enjoyable word. Let's do naughty things. We even say to our kids, oh, you're being naughty, but we laugh at the fact. Letting go and drunkenness will lead to more serious sin. And then it ends not only in strife, but envying. Sin is never content. Sin will destroy us. Sin will eat us up. Sin will destroy our soul. So don't be in darkness. See, we have the light, don't we? We have the truth. We know these things. Happy are ye if you live in them, live in the truth of them. Finally, and very briefly, the contrast of identity. We've considered the contrast of time, occupation and life. Now the contrast of identity in verse 14. And what a wonderful way to finish off these four verses. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The greatest and supreme way to avoid and defeat sin is to become like Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision. In other words, if we're like Christ, there won't be place for the flesh. We won't fulfill the lust thereof. Oil and water cannot mix. If we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Clark notes, to be clothed with a person is a Greek phrase signifying to assume the interests of another, to enter into his views, to imitate him, and to be wholly on his side. That's what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's not some mystical experience. It's to assume the interests of Christ. What does Christ desire? What does Christ long for? What does Christ love? They are going to be my things. They are going to be the things that I want. Enter into his views. Imitate him and be holy on his side. So every time sin confronts me, I will not commit that sin because Christ hates that sin. And because Christ loves righteousness and hates wickedness, I'm going to love the things that he loves, and I'm going to hate the things that he hates. That's what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul in Philippians 2:21 could say this in a contrast: for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. That's the problem. That was the problem in the church in Paul's day, and it's still the problem. But in the modern evangelical church, people are seeking their own things. And that's why we don't have biblical worship, but that's also why we don't have holy living among Christians. Why? Because this root problem is that all seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. If we love the things that Jesus Christ loved and wanted the things that Jesus Christ wanted, we would not have the problems in our lives, in our churches, in our families that we have today. And that's why in Colossians 3, our last verse, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead. And again, this brings us back to our text. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us walk as in the day, not in riotousness and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in envying and strife, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to walk after its lusts. May God bless our souls with these things. Amen. We'll close with Psalm 69. Psalm 69, the verses 30 to 36. The name of God I with a song most cheerfully will praise, and I in giving thanks to him, his name shall highly raise. Psalm 69, verses 30 to 36. Let us stand to sing.
The name of God I with a song most cheerfully will praise, and I in giving thanks to him, his name shall highly raise. This too
love is blessed.
us pray. O Lord, we acknowledge the wonder of the salvation that God has brought us into. We are children of God. We are children of light. We are the heirs of grace and glory. Oh, what a wonderful salvation. What a wonderful relationship that we have with the Son of God, the one who has loved us in our very souls and has wrought salvation on our behalf. Oh, enable us to live in the good of thy truth and thy grace. We bless thee, Lord, for your mercy and patience with our souls. Lord, strengthen us at this time. In the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Father, and the blessed communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen.